Christ hasn't risen, then you remain in your sins. There's no provision for forgiveness. And the Bible teaches that the central issue that you need to deal with before you can enjoy a relationship with God is sin. It needs to be dealt with because that is the barrier between you and God. So it's all well and good for people saying you mustn't teach about sin. But if you don't teach about sin, how are you going to get to God? You know, because it has to be overcome. It has to be removed. There has to be a way over sin in order to get to God because it acts as a barrier. Only Christ can deliver us from our sins. Therefore, it's only through Christ that we can enjoy a relationship with God. So make no mistake, friends, this morning, that all religions do not lead to God. Jesus never left that as an option. He stated very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. All roads do not lead to God. And if you look at the different religions, you'll see that they're very different and they can't all lead to the same God if you really look at it. So if Christ has not risen, you're still dead in your sins with no way to God. You have been trusting, as a believer, you have been trusting, praying and staking your eternal destiny on a man who died 2,000 years ago and who can do no more for your sins and salvation than Julius Caesar. Can't do any more than he can. So if Christ has not risen, your faith is futile, Paul says. Secondly, Paul says, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then there is no hope of eternal life. Verse 18, Paul says, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. They're gone forever. There's no eternal life. Can we have slide 4? Some of us who have stood at the grave of a loved one who was a believer have been comforted from the conviction that the person we love is now in the presence of Jesus Christ. We were at the funeral of Joan this week. And whilst we were sad at her loss, nevertheless, we were comforted by the fact that she's now in a better place in the arms of Christ. So there was great comfort and joy in the midst of the sadness that we felt at the same time. But Paul is brutally honest here. He says, if Christ has not risen, then all that is a false hope. It's a false hope. Because if Jesus isn't raised, there's absolutely no hope of anyone, of anybody else ever making it back to life. And if Christ has not risen, our loved ones who died in Jesus Christ are just simply lost. And we're living in denial. And what that means is that you've staked your whole life on a hope that will ultimately be will prove to be completely false. And that's tragic, isn't it? That you've done that. Tragic. So if Christ hasn't been raised, then you're deluded, you're still in your sins, and you have no hope of eternal life. When you're dead, you're dead. That's it. And thirdly, if Christ has not risen, then you're wasting your time trying to live the Christian life. It's pointless. What is the point of it? Can we have the next slide? 5. The Apostle Paul paid a high price for following Christ. We're told that on 5 occasions he was flogged with 39 lashes. On 3 occasions he was beaten with rods. On 1 occasion he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He had been in and out of prison and lived in constant danger of his life. That was his life. This man was a brilliant academic. He could have had a comfortable life as a lecturer in a theological college with an incredibly good salary and the respect of the Jewish community around him. Why on earth would he endure such incredible suffering? Why would he put himself through that? Well, there was only one reason. Because of his encounter with the living, risen Christ. Christ revealed himself to him on the road to Damascus in person. And Paul says, if Christ isn't risen, then I have endured all of this for the sake of a dead man and a lost cause. Friends, the Christian life is so hard that if Jesus Christ has not risen, it just simply isn't worth pursuing. It isn't worth it. Because Christianity stands or falls on its claim that the resurrection is true. And if it's not true, then integrity demands that we just do away with Christianity. What's the point of it? Because if Christ has not risen, then you have struggled to live a life of holiness and you need never have bothered. If Christ has not risen, then you have prayed and it's been like sending emails that just bounce back. If Christ has not risen, then you spend hours in service for the faith that is useless. Colin, Sean, Tony, it was a waste of time, the hours that you put setting up the Christmas tree yesterday. You guys who set up the chairs and the stage this morning, wasting your time. Hospitality team, wasting your time. Kids church, youth, you're wasting your time. What's the point? Giving hours of service. If Jesus hasn't been raised, then you've given your money sacrificially that you could have kept and enjoyed for yourself. If Christ has not risen, then I quit as a church minister. You say, well, you're going. I'm not. It's not the same thing. I'm retiring. I'm not quitting. It's a very different thing. There are easier ways to earn to live this life and easier ways to earn a living. Friends, the Christian life can be tough. The Christian life can be costly. It is costly. And if you haven't discovered that, if you think that the Christian life, your experience of a Christian life, is a piece of cake and it's just a bed of roses and it's easy, then may I suggest to you that maybe you need to reassess your relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. It's not easy following Jesus in our society, especially if you're a young person these days. Especially if you're a young person. It is very, very difficult. We need to pray and stand by our young people because they've got a barrage of stuff and rubbish that is thrown at them on a daily basis. We need to stand with them and pray with it for them and with them regularly. Friends, committed Christians know that it costs to follow Jesus Christ. But if Christ hasn't risen, it simply isn't worth it. What is the point? What is the point? And then we come to verse 20, and Paul says, but Christ has risen from the dead. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Can we have that final thing? And if we had been in a Pentecostal church now, everybody would have been saying hallelujah. Christ has risen from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And Paul doesn't speak of this just as a possibility. He declares it as a fact. Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, was crucified, died and was buried, and on the third day he rose again. The tomb was empty. He was no longer there. There is no body, and they still haven't found a body. He is alive. So what does that actually mean to you as a believer then, if that's true? Well, it means that your faith is real. And it means that when you pray, he hears you. He may not answer you in the way that you want, in the time that you want, but he hears you. If you've placed your trust in him, then your sins are forgiven. It means that when you die, you will spend all eternity in his presence in unimaginable joy and peace. It means that you have a certain hope. It means that when you talk about heaven, you're talking about something that is going to happen. You're going to see Jesus face to face. It means costly discipleship is the greatest investment that you can make in life. The greatest investment. Costly discipleship is the greatest investment that you can make in your life. But finally, I have something to say to anybody here this morning who doesn't believe Jesus has risen. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know all of you. There may be somebody here who's in that category. Maybe you've had a bad experience of church. You found Christianity to be hypocritical, boring, and irrelevant. Or maybe you have friends that are Christians and they've told you about their faith, but you just don't get it. There are too many unanswered questions and you need them answered before you can move forward. Or perhaps you just can't accept that Jesus is actually alive. Well, if that's where you're at this morning, I have a question for you now. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? If Christ has been raised from the dead, then that means unbelief is the most futile thing in the world. What if it's you who has taken the ADT tablet that has no bearing on your condition, but you feel better for it? What if it's you that is playing mind games with yourself? Because your reluctance to believe Christ is alive doesn't change the fact that he is. The risen Christ is seated on the throne in heaven with all authority, and he calls men and women to obedience and faith in him. And to remain in a position of unbelief in the light of the resurrection evidence is like playing Russian roulette with your life. It really is. Because if you have not embraced Christ as Lord and Savior, the fact is you remain immersed in your sins and separated from God. And if Christ really has risen, it means that one day you're going to stand before him and give an account of your life and of your choices and of your decision. And what will you say on that day? I was too busy. I kept following you off, but I always meant to. I just wanted to live my life first the way I wanted to and then come to you at a later stage. I had other priorities. You don't know. I had other priorities in my life, family, etc. I was still trying to work it all out and make sense of it before I invited Jesus into my life. What will you say to him? Why stand at a distance from him any longer? If he has risen, then it's you who's wasting your life. And everything in it will one day be pointless. The risen Christ comes to you in grace and offers you the greatest opportunity of your life, an opportunity to invest your life in eternity. Jesus Christ was crucified for you, and he offers peace with God, reconciliation, forgiveness of sins, and he invites you to follow him. Jesus Christ has conquered death and is the Savior you can believe and trust in. Because if he has conquered death, as he promised he would rise from the dead. And if he has done that, then everything else that he promised must also be true. And that means that you can trust your life, your death, and your eternity to this risen Lord. By his death and resurrection, he has made a way by which you can be forgiven and enter into an eternal relationship with the living God. He acts as a bridge between you and God, and Jesus acts as a bridge over the barrier of sin that separates you both. And all you have to do now is just walk across the bridge of Jesus into a relationship with God. It's as simple as that. It is so simple, people just can't get their heads around it and won't accept it. So as we close this morning, if that's you, will you not grasp the greatest opportunity of life? An opportunity to live a full and abundant life. Friends, Christ has indeed risen from the dead. He is alive and he is well and he's with us right now in this very room. But in the light of that, I wonder what your response is this morning to this wonderful, wonderful truth. I want us to respond now, because as we often say, that we believe here that when the word of God is preached, it never returns to God void. Something always happens. The Spirit of God has convicted, touched, and spoken to people this morning. you need to respond to that. And we always give an opportunity for folk to respond. And the first thing I want to do, I want to put folk on the spot. I've no idea if there's anyone here this morning, but if there's somebody here this morning who's not in that place where they can say that Jesus Christ is my Saviour, He's my Lord, I've been forgiven, I know that I've been forgiven of all my sins and I'm in a relationship with Him, and I know that when I die, I will be in eternity in heaven with Him. If that's not true of you and you've not yet given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've sat on the fence for whatever reason, then I'm just going to, I know it's a bold thing for you to do, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's important that you do this. If that's you, can you just raise your hand, because I'd love to pray for you to receive Christ this morning. Is there anybody here that's in that position this morning? Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray a prayer now, and if you can repeat that prayer to yourself, it'll be a way that you're inviting. What you're doing is you're confessing your sin and you're inviting Jesus to come into your life this morning. So just pray this simple prayer after me. Jesus, I come to you this morning acknowledging that I am a sinner before you. I have lived my life for me and not had you as my Lord and as the main thing in my life. I ask that you come now and forgive me for all my sins. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. I open my life up to you now. I give it to you. And I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and my Saviour. Amen. We'd love to pray for you again after the service, and we'd like to give you some literature at the back. Tony will give you some literature. There's a Why Jesus there, and Tony would love to talk to you further about that. But we're going to continue now with our responses. Can I invite you to all to stand just before we go into our final song? And I believe that the Lord has spoken to others this morning, because I believe there's some here this morning that maybe are finding the Christian walk really tough, and you've wondered whether it's worth carrying on. One, is it worth carrying on? And I believe that the Lord today, in the light of what He has said, wants to pour out a fresh outpouring and an assurance of faith into your life. And then I think there's others here this morning who are in very difficult life circumstances, and maybe you've prayed and you've petitioned God, but nothing seems to have happened and you've lost hope, and you're wondering if God even hears your prayers, let alone answer them. And this morning God wants to restore hope that He hasn't given up on you, that He still has your life in His hands and He's still at work in your life. Others this morning need assurance in the light of what you have heard about the resurrection. You want to receive fresh assurance because you've been having doubts and you want fresh assurance in your life. And I believe there's somebody here this morning also who has perhaps just drifted away from God. And this morning they recognize that it's time for them to drift back into a full relationship with Him. If you can identify with any of those, we want to pray for you, and can I invite you just to come forward right now. And the ministry team, can you come up the front as well, please? Just come forward now as you feel able to, and we'd love to pray for you and just bless what the Holy Spirit has already started and convicted you of this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you. We welcome you here. We welcome you here, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. During our pre-service prayer meeting, we also had some words I want to give out to now that maybe for some of you here this morning. I had a picture of quite a number of pictures about darkness and a dark world. And we had fires around that cannot be put out. And you may be in a dark place at the moment, but there is a fire. The fire and the light of Jesus is still in your circumstances, and no one can put that out. And the Lord wants you to know that and be have fresh assurance this morning. Tranquility, peace was a word, two words that we had, that the Lord wants to impart peace this morning. We had another word on brooding darkness, and somebody that needs fresh assurance that in the darkness that you're experiencing, that Jesus is here. Wherever you are, he's there with you, wherever you are. And we had another picture of darkness, but scattered lights around. And the message was, stop looking in the wrong place. Look, I'm here. Look up, I'm here. And we had a picture of somebody who's feeling really weak at the moment, weak at the knees. And it reminded of the picture of Moses when he was standing, holding his staff up, and he was getting so weak that others had to come and help him and hold him. And maybe somebody this morning is trying to carry something on their own. And the Lord is saying to you, you don't need to carry it on your own. You have your church family, and most of all, you have me to help you carry the load. You don't need to carry it, and you shouldn't be carrying it on your own. If any of those words mean anything to you, then we're just going to invite you to come forward in a minute. We're going to go into our final song, and we'd love to pray for you here at the front and just bless and affirm what the Lord has stirred up in you today.